paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2, this is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between throwing it down on a Thursday night throwdown, as there's a lot of stuff to throw down. The NBA players have decided to resume play after 24 hours ago. It seemed as though they were not, and in fact, reports now come out. Doc Rivers said that the Clipper players thought the season was over. That the Clipper players actually were in shutdown mode, but they're ready to go now. That has been a very emotional 24 hours, and it obviously has been. Meanwhile, the National Hockey League decides to shut things down for a couple of days. The Vancouver Canucks supposedly at the forefront of this and were adamant that they weren't going to play one way or the other, whether other teams were not. The NHL got called out for not joining the NBA in solidarity. It's almost like unions, guys. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when the piano movers go on strike, then the garbage men have to go on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they're all part of the same union, so to speak. But the NHL players stand in solidarity with the NBA players, but were caught off guard by the suddenness of all of this, including were NBA players. Nevertheless, when it's all said and done, the NBA is going to be back at some point this weekend. They're saying Saturday or Sunday. I think it'll probably be, Saturday. Yet, I don't know, whatever. It's obviously a fluid situation. The National Hockey League is going to be back on Saturday. It's not official, but it looks like they're going to be back on Saturday. They plan on resuming play. All right, so been a couple of days for everybody to breathe, you know, voice their opinions and vent their rage. Speaking of venting their rage, Brody Van Wagenen, he probably got some rage from the Wilpons. Only the New York Mets, man. Only the Mets. Like, something there really is. Like, anyone that only, if you follow the Mets, you know what I'm talking about. We're talking about a Mets, you know, that set their field on fire, nearly burnt the entire town down on the 4th of July. In Florida before. But basically, the Mets general manager was caught on microphone calling Rob Manfred incompetent. And really, turns out that it's his own boss that actually had the idea that it was incompetent. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage late night. Level two. Hi, Morenci. We're kicking it with Steve Merrill right now. Man, it's been some crazy stuff going on. As we stated going into the last break, Brody Van Wagenen, the New York Mets general manager, was caught on camera and audio. He's wearing a mask, but he can be heard, and he's telling, you can't see who he's talking to, but he goes, yeah, can you believe it? He goes, they actually just called and said that they want the players to do a protest. It's fine if they protest before the game, but then to come back out an hour later and to play the game because there's so much at stake. And then Van Wagenen says, like, to whoever, who he's talking to, he's like, can you believe these idiots? And he sort of swears. And then someone goes, whose idea was this? And he goes, Rob Manfred. He's talking about the commissioner. And then he goes, it's Rob and Jeff. And Jeff is like his boss, the owner's son. And then Van Wagenen's like, he goes, you have no idea. He goes, Manfred has no idea what he's doing. So the Mets manager, he goes, Manfred has no idea what he's doing. And he's so lost. He goes, he doesn't know what the F he's doing. And holy crap, the Mets are freaking out right now. So the owners of the Mets have released a statement. And it turns out it wasn't Manfred's idea. It was Jeff Wilpon's idea. So imagine you rip the commissioner of the league, but it's not the commissioner of the league's idea. It turned out it's your boss's idea, who you said it's the stupidest idea ever. It has no idea. So Van Wagenen has apologized. The Mets have apologized for their general manager calling Rob Manfred an idiot and incompetent as well. I'm telling you, as someone that's covered and followed the Mets closely, Steve, just another day in the Queens Circus Village right now.
Yeah, but it's so telling. I mean, it's exactly what all these leagues think. They want to look good PR-wise, and they don't give a damn 90% of the time behind the scenes. So, I mean, you know, Gabe, what gets me the most with all this stuff, politicians, players, everything, is the hypocrisy. And a lot, like I said, really the players, I think, are good guys. I think most of them just are maybe a little naive about some real-world stuff and where they could better use, you know, their influence. But these big wigs, these business guys, you know, they know what the hell is going on, and they don't care. By the way, I wanted to point out real quick during the break, you know, they're talking about all the doubleheaders. You notice every baseball game that was played today were the two set doubleheaders, and all the games that were canceled were the single games. Not a coincidence, because once again, they wanted to make a statement. They wanted to look like they cared, but they sure as hell didn't want to have to make up two doubleheaders for all those four sets. So just shows what a joke all this is in the big picture.
Well, baseball.
And, but the other thing I was going to point out too, Gabe, do you think the 31% international hockey players really gave a damn about any of this?
I think they do. I think you're selling people short, that like, it's all just like sort of fake or something. I don't agree that they're naive and dumb and stuff like that either. Well, put it this way. People in Europe are nowhere near as racist as people in America are. So it's a different, they're different people, Steve. Like, you know what I mean? They don't think the same.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too deep into the whole thing. I mean, it's a big country. We got 330 million people. So obviously there's going to be some racists, and more so than Europe because it's a bigger country. But I don't agree with the whole systematic racist thing about the U.S. I just don't, you know, that's probably a debate for another show, but we're not a racist country. You know, we had a black president. We have 83% NBA black players, make millions, fans support them. There's some bad apples in the police department. There's some bad apples in society. But the vast majority of Americans, the vast majority of police officers, you know, in general, are not racist. And that's something that kind of bothers me about the whole situation. I don't know about Europe. You know, I still think you go to these other countries, there's a lot of racism there, and there's a lot of bigotry as well.
Yeah, well, listen, you can't argue. Like, bigotry and racism exist everywhere, right? It exists everywhere. Yet, not this stuff isn't happening all over the world, Steve, though, right? Like it just, you know, it's just facts. You know what I mean? Like the civil unrest and the racial unrest isn't happening right now in, you know, it's not happening in other places. I mean, there's obviously a pattern of something going on. I totally agree too. I don't think, but that's the whole point though. I mean, it's almost like back to the Kaepernick stuff in which, has any NBA player even talked about the police and stuff like that? Or that, you know, I don't think every cop is racist. I don't assume that either. And, you know, I said the other day, you have 350 million people in a country. Things are going to happen, right, Steve? You know what I mean? Like, bad things are going to happen. Yeah. Weird things are going to happen.
And it only takes one bad cop. Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm just saying, and it takes like, and everything, there's bad people on all sides, you know, of, you know what I mean? Good guys, bad guys, cops, robbers, everyone else in between. You get 350 million people. There's going to be weird ass stories, weird people, crazy people, ugly stories that happen and ugly incidents. It's the world that we live in right now, but people are clearly fed up.
Well, and Gabe, Gabe, it's hard to say how many races are on Norway and Sweden when I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would guess that it's probably 99% white. You get my point. I mean, we have more of a mix in the U.S. than any other nation in history. That's what makes the country great. And by the way, more black Africans and black people in general immigrate to the U.S. every year than any other country on earth. So if we're such a systematically racist country, why do more black people immigrate here every year than anywhere else? That's my point. And you and I are on the same page on this. I think most people are.
But when you asked about just about the European hockey players, I'm just saying they're kind of the smart ones.
Yeah, no, I want your take on that. Yeah.
Yeah. The European hockey guys are kind of the smart ones, Steve. They speak multiple languages. They're well-versed. You know what I mean? They've lived in many different countries and stuff. The jarheads are sort of the Canadian kids, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like the thing with hockey is, and that's why, like, when people were ripping them last night about all of them playing and stuff, they're non-political people, like, in the first place. Like, hockey players, like, would know the least sort of about politics and would care the least. Like, they really have, like, only a couple of things on their mind. Hockey, women, and alcohol. Like, it's not a deep, like, they really, no, and it's true. It's not like they're bad guys, but that's like their life, like, basically. Like, there's a ton of alcoholics. Drinking is a real problem in hockey. So, like, there's a lot of rampant just drinking, and they don't watch the news and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, the European guys are sort of the smarter guys. That's why I said, like, they're sort of the deeper thinkers. But yeah, obviously, like you said, listen, there's racism everywhere, but that's not really the point of this, right? I mean, look, that's the whole point. Look, there's been protests in the European soccer leagues as well, Steve, right? And there's been ultra racism in Europe. So, you know, I'm not saying there ain't racism in Europe. There's rampant racism in Europe as well. But I'm
no, you did say that,
with,
but Gabe, you did say that, no, though. That's the whole thing. That's why I was kind of arguing with you.
But the culture.
I got you. I knew what you meant.
The culture is not nearly the same, Steve. It's not nearly the same. Like, you know what I mean? Like, put it this way. Black people aren't getting shot in every country at the rate they do in the United States, Steve. Like, that's just, it just is. Well,
I agree,
you know what I mean? Like that's just the reality.
But that's another. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think it's over what 90% of black people that get shot every year are shot by another black person. I think it's like over 90%. So that's another thing. It's a real pet peeve of mine is that anybody getting shot is a bad thing. But there again, are those systematically racist people though? Because they're shooting other black people. Does that make them a racist? It's gun violence. It's not a racism thing.
But if you look at if you look at the numbers, like, they do get shot proportionally higher by percentage by law. Because I looked it up, actually. I was like, you know, because cops shoot people all the time. You know what I mean? And a cop's going to shoot someone, you know, just if they want to shoot you, depending on, it doesn't matter your skin color. But the numbers don't add up. Like, it is definitely disproportionate. But let's get to the NASCAR picks on the other side. Sports Rage Late Night, bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night rolling. Our chat is... That is interesting, of course. And I've been wanting to get to the NASCAR, but we've had an interesting debate with Steve. I don't know, as I said earlier, before the show started, I said off the top, I said, I don't mind disagreeing with people. I just hate when people don't listen, Steve. You know what I mean? And, you know, I that's why I don't mind, you know, debating and having conversations with you. And somebody raised a good point in our chat, and I totally agree. I know a lot of cops. I'm not saying that... I'm not saying that all cops, you know, are racist, but there is a problem in which cops shoot too quickly nowadays, Steve. You know what I mean? Like in the old days, basically, you know, cops were sort of tougher. You know what I mean? Like they would basically just punch you in the face or tackle you or, you know what I mean? Like hit you in a club. You sort of have a lot of younger cops now. They haven't spent a lot of time. They have a lot of experience. They're in these small towns. And then when something happens, they just sort of panic, bro. You know what I mean? And situations that don't have to turn into what they turn into get turned into it. So I think that that's part of it, that it's not all race. I think there's just, it's a training problem. Personally, I think that is a big key into this. I just think like, you got to stop giving guns to so many people, so to speak. Like, just you can't go through 3 weeks of police academy and be the deputy sheriff of a small town anymore. Like, I think the training's got to be better, Steve, in my opinion.
No question about it. And if you think you need better training, the last thing you want to do is defund the police more. It just shows how crazy that idea is, because I agree with you. I think more training is a good thing, and you could use those funds, you know, for good purposes like training. And, you know, de-escalation training where you – one thing I want to say, though, about all this stuff in general, I was thinking about this during the break. The one problem with our society in general right now in all aspects of the world is just instant gratification, you know, the cell phone, you know, everything is 15 seconds and you move on. And that doesn't help with all these incidents, you know, because everything is 24/7 news cycle. Everything is on video now. Everything is on camera phone. I don't know if cops shoot too quick now or not, because we don't know what it was like in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, because this stuff wasn't being videotaped by everybody on the sidewalk with a cell phone. I really honestly don't think things are worse now than they were 50, 60 years ago. You know, you talked about Jackie Robinson Day at the top of the show, Gabe. Things were worse back then for black people. And I mean, if you think things are worse now racism-wise in this country, people need to pick up a history book and read about the 60s, read about the 50s, read about 200 years ago. I mean, we all know the history. Things are not worse now. Things aren't perfect, but they're not worse. No, it doesn't. But it doesn't mean the world is ending.
No.
But my point is that I think there's been bad stuff that's always gone on like this. And it's just, it's more in the limelight now. It's like when there's a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake, everyone thinks there's more of them now. They've always happened. It's just that it's so broadcast and relevant instantly on the internet, on cable news, on cell phones. It's a different world we live in.
Isn't that almost a problem, though, that, like you just said, it's always happened? Like, so shouldn't it stop be happening? Isn't that the point? Like, well, it's always happened like this.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, but I'm saying I don't think it's worse. But Gabe, I think a lot of people are saying it's worse than ever, and I don't think that's accurate. That's my point.
I would agree with that as well. You're right. You can't.
I mean, we're trying to make progress. We're trying to make it less every day.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. I mean, things, you know, obviously there's been progress with everything. And like you said, dude, there is real change, Steve. And I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, it was like a big deal, man. You know what I mean? Oh, the cops are coming. You're smoking weed. Now, dude, the weed's open, like during like a pandemic. It's essential. You know what I'm saying? You know, like gay marriage and stuff. Like, societies do change, as you stated. Like, change does happen. It just takes a while. I remember being in high school, and there was like on a 420, and there was a couple hundred people marching for the legalization of marijuana. And I remember like thinking, these people are nuts. It'll never be legal. Like, you know what I mean? What planet are these guys living on? I was like, there's no way that's ever going to happen.
What about sports betting in all the states?
Yeah.
Did you think you'd see sports betting in all 50 states before we were done?
You know, I tell you what. I expected sports betting to expand, but I tell you what, Steve, I would never have expected it in Indiana and Arkansas and stuff before New York. You know what I mean? Like in these sort of quote unquote Bible Belt places that actually have it. And that's, you know, that's another thing where politics gets weird. It's the hypocrisy. Like, look at New York. Like Cuomo's known, you know, the big liberal guy. The guy doesn't have legalized weed. He doesn't have sports gambling, Steve, right? Yet, you know, you look at Indiana, where Mike Pence is from there, and, you know, you can't get a gay cake bake, but you can place a sports bet now, right? Like, there's weird dynamics like that, you know? Like, look at North Carolina is anti-sports gambling, but I guess South Carolina is pro-sports gambling, Steve. What's the difference, guys?
Right, it makes no sense.
Yeah, that's a good idea to have legal something on one side and in one side and not the other. All right, so speaking of crazy states, it makes no sense.
Gabe, we have it in Virginia.
Florida, Daytona. What's in Virginia?
Yeah, there you go. A little NASCAR.
Yeah, Virginia,
as of July 1st, has legalized sports betting. Sports betting became legal July 1st. They passed it back in March, and it was signed in. We'll have it by December, because once again, the state is so stupid that they're going to have a 3-month period to come up with the rules, and then at the end of September, they're going to have a licensing period, and then they'll have their first legal operator by the end of December. I'm like, do they realize the NFL season will be almost over by then? But that's how they roll. Politics for you right there. They did a good thing, and they screwed it up still.
Yeah, that's just stupid. They're... it baffled. We can go on. Hey, listen, I'll tell you one thing, Steve. I think we'll agree on. Like, I don't care what side of the eye you're talking about. There's a lot of incompetence, bro. Okay, let's just we'll put it. We'll put
90
it that
plus
way.
Percent.
Yeah, we'll put it that way. All right. So as far as this Daytona race, it's kind of strange. It's the last. The playoffs are around the corner. This NASCAR season's kind of just sort of flew by, and you know we're down to the final race. Amazingly enough, Busch still has not won, even though he has qualified for the playoffs. And it's kind of a weird place to have your playoff hopes at stake, with such a random race. And so for the record, Clint Bowyer needs 3 points to clinch a berth. The Benetendo needs 51 points, no matter what any other driver does. And then there's William Byron, Jimmy Johnson, and Eric Jones, all who are in striking distance to get in. 13 drivers have already qualified. What are your thoughts on this race, Steve, as we go back to Daytona?
Well, you know, we love a good conspiracy theory, and obviously this being Jimmy Johnson's final season and he's right on the bubble, you got to figure both NASCAR and his team would like to see him there. And one of the guys he's fighting with is teammate William Byron of the 24 car. However, you know, Daytona is a tough race to control because you can't just run in the middle of the pack all day long and finish. You're going to get a top 15 finish because that's where the wrecks occur. And by the way, Gabe, Jimmy Johnson is on the bubble because he's had two races this year where he's gotten 0 points, one because of cheating and then another one because he had COVID. So he'd be easily in the playoffs otherwise. So really unusual situation there. Denny Hamlin is as low as he was 6-1. I now see him as low as 5-1 at some sports books. That is very low for a restricted play track. Normally everybody is 10-1 or higher. In fact, everybody else is 10-1 or higher, but Hamlin has been really good on the play tracks. He won the Daytona 500 earlier on this track back in February. And of course he and Harvick swept the races this past week and they've won over 50% of the races overall this year. So I'm not a big 5-1 guy at a play track, but Hamlin's a favorite for a reason.
Hey, looking at the numbers they hear, so as you mentioned, so I'm seeing FanDuel plus 650. You got Harvick at 10-1. Not a ton of interest there. Keselowski has had success at these speedways, Steve. You got Keselowski at 13-1. Logano 13-1. Isn't 14-1 a pretty nice number for Ryan Blaney?
Yeah, and Blaney, do you know, had he not won the one race this year, he'd be on the bubble and maybe it wouldn't make the playoffs. And it's crazy because, as you know, we talked about this with Cam a month ago or so on the TV show. You know, he was as fast as anybody for several weeks at some of those cookie-cutter tracks. And Keselowski, Logano, and Blaney, all Penske cars, are all strong on these tracks. So they can draft and work together. So it's not a coincidence that you see them as the third, fourth, and fifth favorite right now at FanDuel. Keselowski, very good at Talladega, not so much so at Daytona. I don't worry too much about that because a plate track is a plate track, but Talladega does have the finish line farther around the turn, you know, so it is a little bit of a different setup, but I think Keselowski's good at both of them.
How about a guy, Steve? How about what kind of storyline would this be? Ryan Newman was right in the mix, bro, before he blew up and stuff. And like he was right there. Imagine like if he's back and he actually wins now. He's 47-1 odds. That's the odds for Ryan Newman. 47-1.
Yeah, buyer beware with both Newman and Matt Kenseth. And the reason being, Newman, of course, had the big crash. He was going to win the Daytona 500, ends up in the hospital for several days. He was back at Talladega a couple months ago. He finished middle of the pack, didn't run that well, but he's been very good at Daytona during his career. Matt Kenseth made the comeback when Kyle Larson got fired, came back during the break. He finished second to last at Talladega. And the reason I bring that up is I always use the Mark Martin analogies from years ago. When Mark Martin got older in the years, it became known that he did not want to get injured at those tracks. And I wonder if Kenseth has that same mindset. I'd be very careful with Kenseth, and I'd be careful with Newman for that same reason until I see otherwise.
Yeah, we'll go back to the cop thing, Steve. It's almost like it's like the last day on the beat. It's my last day before retirement. I don't want to get shot out here, right? Like,
exactly.
You know, the wives are like, yeah, don't do anything stupid, honey. Right? It's like you're, especially like, yeah, you're right. It's one of the more dangerous tracks out there. It's the Coke Zero Sugar 400. And I'm assuming that they will not walk in protest 5 minutes before the race starts.
I hope so. Gabe, I'm telling you right now, it's in the back of my mind. But I think the fact that the NBA is coming back, hopefully hockey's coming back, they will race, hopefully, on Saturday.
They'll do like 30 seconds. All right, hey, hang on, Steve. We'll say bye to Steve on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
All right, Sports Rage late night. Interesting program this evening. Steve Merrill getting some love. Steve Merrill getting some love for his Merrill's hot takes on the program tonight. And we appreciate Merrill kicking it with us on the show. And I knew tonight, I'm like, great, is Merrill tonight. I'm like, I'm going to disagree with a lot of this. But That's the beautiful.
You don't disagree with half of what I say. You agree with 90% of what I say, Gabe. You just don't admit it.
No. I'll agree with 67%, Steve.
67%.
Yeah. I don't disagree like with you so little that I would have to like leave the room. You know what I mean? No, I like I said, I don't mind.
I'll sum up my stance on everything.
Yeah.
I'm a libertarian, man, big time, 100%. And I have a feeling you are, and most of the viewers and listeners are as well. Anybody in the sports betting business has to be a libertarian after what we've gone through for the last 30 years with the silly regulations in all the states.
Oh, yeah, I am very libertarian. Like, I will agree with that. That much we can agree with. So Steve, the NASCAR season just flew by, and credit to them. You know, we talked about the social distancing and all that type of stuff. They handled their business. They took care of it very well. The fact that they all wear masks and helmets to begin with really did help, right? So that was something big. And something that Steve brought up earlier was a great point, that even under the helmets, they wear masks because of the fumes and the exhaust, like in the pit area and stuff. So it was almost built naturally to be. But I kidded. I said, yeah, I don't expect these guys to walk out of protest. And they're not going to. NASCAR sort of already had their social justice moment earlier in the year. They'll probably just sort of do sort of like, you know, a mention, you know, and let's take a, you know, moment to reflect on, you know, the situation. Like, NASCAR does seem to be pretty conscious of like wanting to like, hey, we're not racist, right? So they seem to almost like overcompensate for it now. So, but the drivers ain't walking.
Exactly.
I'm willing to bet the drivers ain't walking. Too much money at stake.
No, but it's just NASCAR. It was so phony what they did we talked about it a month and a half ago. Remember we did the late night show here. We talked about Bubba Wallace for a while. And I talked about just how phony all that stuff was. The pre-race stuff when they had the fake noose thing and they all got gathered around them, the one black driver. I hate stuff like that. I don't like what's going on in society right now, but that's just phony. I hate the phony stuff. I hate the hypocrisy. If that hasn't been the theme of tonight, I don't know what has been. But I'll tell you, Gabe, it crossed my mind the last day or so that this race might not happen. But the fact that we've had a few days for the other sports to do all this, I think NASCAR can kind of sneak the race in and just do a little bit beforehand. And they do not want to miss this race because the playoff schedule is set and it starts next week. So they have to race. And luckily, the timetable of this happening on Wednesday and not Friday night made it probably possible for them to do so.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually, that if no one ever came back, you know, they'd be like, yeah, we just have to. We're going to have to shut it down. I brought it up earlier. Golf just doesn't care. Right. At least golf doesn't pretend to care, Steve. You know what I mean? and I said this
good
earlier. Hey, listen, I fully support the NBA players and whatever they do and all this type of stuff. But I also said earlier on the show, Steve, right now in golf, there's two tournaments left, bro. All right. So you got this one and then you got the next week's the final one. And it's a lot like NASCAR. There's like a cutoff line and stuff like by points. Okay. So like there's 70 people in the tournament this week or 69, whatever, whether we'll draw a scratch, whatever, 70 guys. Next week's like 30, Steve, or something. You know what I mean? And they're playing for $15 million, bro. The winner gets 15 mil. So I got to tell you what, like I'm the first one to admit it. Like I'd be like, yeah, listen, I fully support your protest, but I'm playing for 15 mil cash here, guys. All right. And I'll happily donate some money after I win in 2 weeks. until then, leave me alone. I'm in the middle of a golf tournament. Like, so yeah, listen, I'd be the first one to admit it. I'm not calling the golfers out. Let's just call it out for what it is. They don't care. Right. But I'm not calling him out for it, Steve. You know what I mean? Like two things could be right at the same time. Like, let's be real. The PGA Tour does not care.
Yeah. I'd also
what like the perception is of them. And I don't care that they don't care. Like, I'm not calling him out for it. I already knew like golf wouldn't care. So like, I don't, like you said, I almost appreciate they don't fake it, Steve. You know what I mean? You know, you don't mean it. Don't say anything.
Plus, but Gabe, I'll say it's very unfair to say they don't care because we don't know. You and I aren't in their heads, and I think they probably do care, but it wouldn't matter if they set out. So I'm glad they didn't stop because it would have just been a waste of their time. And
Oh, and down goes Merrill. I swear my hands are up. We didn't take him out. Was that Yang? Did Yang have enough in master control? All right, that's enough of Merrill. We'll see if we get Merrill on to say goodbye to Steve. Like I said, listen, I'm dead serious. Like I don't agree with a lot of Steve's takes, but I respect him. You know what I mean? And I listen to him. And I know a lot of people don't agree with my takes, right? So that's you got to be open minded and listen, and listen to people. But I tell you what, the show's just flown by. We'll see if we can get Merrill. I don't know what happened. Maybe his power went out, or who knows? He is in Virginia right now. So as far as this NASCAR race is concerned, as we stated, big time stuff, man. You know, there's only a couple of playoff spots left here right now. And the thing with Daytona is it's such a random race. Like, you can't pull away. You can't dominate on this track, right? Everybody races in packs. Everybody drafts. So basically, it's a real team type race. And even like you'll see, sometimes not even teams, but drivers will sort of, even if they don't like each other, it'll benefit both of them. It'll benefit both of them just to sort of ride in packs. And Steve, I was just telling people, I wanted to have a proper goodbye for you. So yeah, I swear, Steve, we didn't cut you off there. I don't know what happened, but I'm just stating this is such a team orientated race, Steve. You can't pull away in this style, right? Everyone's drafting. You're racing in packs. It's really, really, it's an interesting dynamic, and especially now that there's playoff spots on the line. It's crazy that Daytona sets this up.
Yeah, and I don't think this is what they wanted. My guess is that, you know, the schedule fell this way because it had to. I can't imagine they wanted the cutoff race for the playoffs to be the most random race in the schedule. Now, of course, they do have Talladega in the playoffs, but they put that the second of a three race stage there in the middle, so it's not the determining one. What's interesting about that round of 12, though, is it's Talladega and then the Charlotte Roval for the final two. And by the way, looking at futures real quick, Chase Elliott's dominated these road courses, including the Daytona Roval the other week, Charlotte. He's won 3 out of 4 now. So he has a very good chance of winning that, which automatically put him in the round of 8. So I think Elliott's worth a look on the futures for that reason. Keselowski as well, because Talladega is the race before that. But right now, if you look at the future odds, Harvick 2.5 to 1, Hamlin 3.5 to 1. They're almost a lock to be in the final 8, if not the final 4 at Phoenix. And Harvick's best track ever is Phoenix. Hamlin's really good there as well. You could play them both right now. And if one of them wins that final race, if 150% of the races overall this year, you still make money. So I think it's something to look at.
Great call. I agree. All right, Steve, before we get you out of here, Ricky Stenhouse. It's always a time that we have to bring this kid's name up when we're on these tracks. 24 to 1. You know, he's going to be in the mix. He needs the win as well. He's a desperate driver. He needs to get the win, but he's got a puncher's chance, doesn't he?
Yeah, but the odds makers know it. He's priced as the 10th highest driver, along with some other guys like Almirola, who's also a sleeper here. Kurt Busch and Jimmy Johnson are 24 to 1 with them as well. They're all decent here. Stenhouse is only 50 or 70 to 1 everywhere else, but he is very good on these tracks, and it's gotten to a point where it's not a fluke anymore.
No, I know the odds makers are on to it. You mentioned Almirola, another dangerous driver here. Someone that you could take a stab with. This is where you could just throw a couple of darts, guys, and you know you're getting much better odds on drivers than you normally would because of the situation. All right, Steve, I wanted to get into football and stuff. I didn't think we would we'd get into the debate as my the social talk as much as we did. But great stuff. The show just flew by.
Oh, you knew
by.
We would.
Yeah, I knew we would a bit, but I was like, you know what I mean? The show just flew by, which means it was a good conversation because it felt like it was like 10 minutes. But
that's right.
Two Thursdays from now is NFL football. Season's 2 weeks away, Steve. Next week, we'll get into the handicapping aspect of this. What do no fans mean? Home field advantage, you know, sort of the different dynamic of this. And I hate it because I'm done with this social stuff too, bro. Like, I'm tired of it all. Like, I was happy to just be back talking about sports, right, after months of this crap. I can handle it once in a while, but it's just, it gets tiresome and, like, draining and old all the time. But
yep.
I think we'd be naive to believe that, like, what happens when someone else gets shot, Steve, now, too? Let's just say something else happens in 4 days. Are they just going to be, all right, that's it, we're done for real? And, like, the NFL guys, like, Saquon Barkley, man, already talked about it. Yeah, that it's already been discussed. So, you know it's inevitable, Steve. Someone else is going to get shot on video. Something bad is going to happen, bro, in September or something. And then what? Are the NFL guys just going to walk? Like, is this just the new norm? I think it is.
I think it might not be those for the exact reasons you're saying, that it does happen every day. It's going to continue to happen every day. And our society thinks they're tough and they're so righteous, but they get numb to stuff pretty fast. So we'll see.
Steve Merrill, Wager Talk. All right, Steve, great stuff as always, my friend. Thank you for stepping up and in once again on this Thursday night throwdown show. Really flew by. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe. Appreciate it.
ProSportsInfo.com, Steve Merrill. Great stuff with Steve. All right, so we keep looking. You know, obviously, we keep on looking to see when these games are going to be back. And really, truth be told, I personally can't wait for games to be back because these issues just expose people for, like, their black hearts that they have. And I'm not talking about Steve Merrill. I think Steve Merrill's take is kind of like what, you know, a lot of people do think. Yet, I have to disagree with there's not systematic racism and stuff. Like, there is. Like, Steve is white, right? Like, you know, hell, I'm white, but there is, like, you know, and for people to say there's not racism out there and stuff. Like, Ron Duguay, the hockey player tonight, said that he's never seen one racist incident in hockey ever before. So, like, you know what? I actually agree with him. Not because there's not been any racist incidences in hockey since Ron Duguay's been in the game, but because he's too high on cocaine to actually know the difference or to be able to tell. I like Ron Duguay. I actually met him at MSG. And like I said, man, dude was pretty lit. Right? Dude was pretty lit for like a Monday or Tuesday night. I'll tell you that much. But he kind of, like, Ron Duguay says, no, there's no racism in hockey. I've never seen anything being said about any dark-skinned player. Like, well, you kind of just kind of, like, you know, shot yourself here, Ron, with this. But yeah, if you see why Ron Duguay is trending on Twitter right now, yeah, it's not good. Fourth race late night. Everybody just get along, people. We just get along.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage late night. Shout out to the Pit, Midtown of Manhattan. Shout out to Steve Merrill for kicking it with us. And, you know, it wasn't my intention, actually, guys. I am kind of, like, sort of just sort of issued out and stuff. And, you know, I just want to get into the NFL. I was ready to get into the Raptors and the Celtics, and we will tomorrow. You know, I didn't think we were going to talk with Merrill for now. We weren't even planning on having Merrill on that long. I thought Merrill, we were going to talk one football segment or NASCAR segment, but it just sort of, you know, it grew organically. But like I said, I like having different opinions on, you know what I mean? I like different opinions. I just hate stupid, like, lowbrow, bad takes, but I respect Steve Merrill a lot. And, you know, we like having different opinions, on the show. But it's kind of tough, like, for us to break down games when there's no games. We know there's going to be games, but give me a time. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, tomorrow night we'll know. All right, the Raptors are playing the Celtics Sunday night at 7. And you know what I mean? All right, this game is here. And, you know, we sort of have something right now. Like, you know, even the sports books right now, they don't have anything up. They have the series price up. They don't know when the games are going to be played. Right? So there's sort of, it's hard for us to, like, you know, in earnest, what? We're going to sit here and break down, how does Kyle Lowry and Kemba Walker match up? Well, you know what? They don't even care right now. Kemba Walker and Kyle Lowry aren't even talking about how they match up right now. Right? So it's a weird dynamic that we're in. But I think we did a good job. We told you, take the Dodgers at plus 380 to win the World Series. Merrill says, take the Cleveland Indians at 20-1 to win the World Series. As far as NASCAR is concerned, I think Denny Hamlin wins, but there's not a ton of value there. But as far as the Raptors and the Celtics are concerned, I do believe that the lack of respect that the Raptors get is very beneficial if you want to bet on them. They're better than the Boston Celtics. They're defending NBA champions. It's only minus 142. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.